We'll be reading today from Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 6 and reading down through verse 10. Let's open our Bibles and begin reading in Titus 2, verse 6, and going down through verse 10. We're going to be talking today about what Paul says to young men in particular. So let's read, beginning in Titus 2, verse 6, where Paul says, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." In this chapter, Paul tells Titus what to teach to different groups in the church, men and women, young and old, and some other categories that we've just looked at. Now, there are some things that preachers and teachers of the gospel obviously teach to all groups, whether they're male or female or young or old or whatever their background or occupation or state in life is. Basically, the essentials of the gospel don't change. But there are some special needs. And there are some things that some groups need to focus on or give attention to perhaps more than other groups do. And so in this chapter, he talks to the older men, then the older women, then the younger women, and now the young men. And what does he tell these young men to do? What does Paul say in Titus chapter 2 to young men in the church today? Well, he tells them in verse 6 beginning, to be sober-minded. That means to be clear in your thinking. It means to have self-control. It means to be of a sound mind, not confused, not clouded in your thinking, not double-minded, not changing your mind all the time, and certainly not undecided. Now, this is one thing that Paul says repeatedly in this book. He uses this word or a form of this word many times in the book of Titus. Have you noticed how many times in Titus that you'll see this word sober or sober-minded? In Titus chapter 1, verse 8, he says that an elder must be sober-minded. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, he says the older men are to be sober. Then in chapter 2, verse 4, he says the young women are to be sober, that is, sober-minded. And then in verse 6, he says now that the young men are to be sober-minded. And not only in those places does he talk about this virtue, but in verse 12, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. So this virtue of thinking clearly as a child of God and having self-control in our lives must be very important because Paul keeps talking about it. And we've just looked at some examples where he talks about this virtue in this one little book of Titus. These words are used in other passages in the New Testament. For instance, in Romans 12, verse 3, the Bible says that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Well, that expression, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, comes from one of these words that is translated to be sober here in this book of Titus. So thinking about how this applies to today, too many times our minds are crowded, our minds are distracted, our minds are restless, and we desperately need clear thinking. And not clear thinking necessarily about earthly things, although that might be a part of it, but especially, we need to be clear in our minds. We need to be crystal clear in our thinking about what our priorities are, what the truth is, and what life is really all about. And the devil tries to cloud our thinking. So we need to pray, and we especially need to read and study the Bible and believe the Bible with all our hearts. And to have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's Word in our minds, and that will clear up our thinking. When people say, well, I'm confused, when people say, I don't know what to do, and I don't even know what's right or wrong or what the truth is, it's because they don't have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's Word in their heart, and they don't have faith. So young men need to be, as he says, sober-minded, and all of us need this as well. Now, Paul then talks to Titus. He tells Titus himself what he is to give attention to in his life. So he begins in verse 6 saying, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself, Titus, a pattern of good works. And this may mean that Titus was a young man himself, and that would fit with the context here. He says, Titus, be a pattern of good works. Be an example to follow. Be a pattern to imitate. So Paul is telling Titus something here that is just like what he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, because he told the young preacher Timothy to be a good example to other people. Now he's telling Titus to be a pattern or an example to other people. Titus, you teach by your actions as well as by your words. And notice the contrast. Notice the difference in this book between the way that Paul describes these false teachers in chapter 1 and how he tells Titus to live his life in chapter 2. In Titus chapter 1, he describes these false teachers as being ungodly, and he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. They don't practice what they preach. Now he's telling Titus, you make sure that you do practice what you preach. You make sure that you're a good example to other people as well as teaching other people. And then he says, in your doctrine, in doctrine. Remember that the word doctrine means teaching. So Titus, in your teaching of the Word of God, you make sure that your teaching is characterized by these three things. Number one, uncorruptness. The New King James uses the word integrity there. Now, this is very similar to the last word that you find, the word sincerity, which also has the idea of uncorruptibility. So Paul says in the first word, you show integrity when you handle the Word of God, and don't ever corrupt the Word of God. Don't mishandle the Word of God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to change it in any way. Don't try to make the Bible say what you want it to say. Don't try to make the Bible mean what some denomination says that it means. This is a very serious thing. The Bible says in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, that a man who adds to the Word of God will have God to add to him the plagues written in that book of Revelation. And if a man takes away from the Word of God, God will take away his part out of the holy city. In James chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, be not many teachers, because we, that is, we teachers, will receive the more severe or strict judgment. And this is why there are so many warnings in the Bible about this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible talks about some who twist or pervert the Word of God, and they do that to their own destruction. In Matthew 15, 9, Jesus warned about those who teach for doctrines the commandments of men. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, Paul said, we are not as many who corrupt the Word of God. So Titus, when you teach the Word of God, make sure that you handle it and don't corrupt it. Do not mishandle or pervert the Word of God. The second word in the middle of these three words is the word gravity in the King James Version, which means reverence. Now, this means that Titus was to show great respect in his teaching and in his preaching. He was to show great dignity and seriousness. A preacher or a teacher of God's Word is handling the Word of the Creator. Now, that alone should cause a man who is preaching or teaching the Word of God to have a very serious demeanor about him. And not only is he handling the word of the Creator, he is talking about the most serious and urgent topic on earth, heaven and hell. He's talking about eternity. And there is absolutely no place or excuse for a preacher to show disrespect, for a preacher to be irreverent, or for a preacher to be lighthearted in his attitude in teaching the Word of God. There are some preachers today who turn their sermons into some kind of fun, entertaining talk. And there are even some preachers who will use crude speech and profanity in their so-called sermons. Now, a little humor is fine, but the overall tone of a sermon should be one of great respect and dignity. Now, that's what Paul is telling Titus here in Titus chapter 2. Paul also says in verse 8 to Titus, to use sound speech. Is that sound speech just in teaching? Well, it seems to be more because of what he says in the last part of this verse, because he says, Titus, you use sound speech that cannot be condemned. That is, it cannot be justly condemned. So that he that is of the contrary part, that is, people who are really opposed to and are against the gospel and the church, might be ashamed because they won't have any evil thing to say about you. People that don't like the church and resent the gospel are always looking for something to criticize in Christians and especially gospel preachers. Well, Paul says, if you watch your tongue and you watch how you talk, then those people are not going to be able to have something that they can criticize you about. And as a matter of fact, they're going to be ashamed because they have that feeling against you and against the church, but they're not going to have anything to back it up. So Paul is saying, don't give them any ammunition. You keep your language pure and you keep your speech sound. Now, in verses 9 and 10, Paul tells Titus how to teach and what to teach to servants. What does he tell them? Well, in the first place, he says, you obey your masters. Be obedient to your own masters. Don't rebel against them, but obey them. Do what they tell you to do. He says to please them well in all things. So servants, get along with your masters. Do your job. Make them happy because you're obligated to them. You owe them. Then he says, not answering again. What that means is don't argue with them. Don't backtalk. It's interesting that this is the same word as the word gainsayer in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. It means to contradict. It means to argue with and disagree. It means when the master says one thing, that the servant says just the opposite. Paul says, don't do that. Just do as you're told. In verse 10, he says, not purloining. That means don't steal from your master. And those servants being around the house and the household and the property of those masters would have a lot of opportunities to steal from them. So he says, don't do that. Don't pilfer. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. But, he says, show all good fidelity. Be like Joseph was in the Old Testament in Genesis 39. Joseph's master had so much confidence in him that he put everything under his supervision, so much so that he didn't even know what he had. So Paul says to these servants, be reliable, be dependable, be faithful, and show all good fidelity. And again, he says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This is a part of sound doctrine. These are things that preachers should keep in mind today as we address the different needs of people in the church.